olo e whaafafonga ili SBS Samoan sa ili nisi mautala ili sbs.com.au/samoan.
Professor Terry Slevin, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much for the call.
Now, why is gambling a public health problem or a public health issue?
It comes down to the simple reality of we know that the people with the least resources, the poorest people, those who are doing it tough, also pay a price in terms of health. So if you are losing your shirt in the gambling arena, whether it's online or any other form of gambling, pokies is the same, then the capacity for you to meet your healthcare costs, for example, to do the things you need to do to keep healthy, are all compromised. But there's another aspect of it as well, and that's mental health. We know that suicide has been linked to people who've got themselves deep into debt as a result of gambling. And I guess it's important also to make the point that it's not just about the very small proportion of people who might be addicted or be labelled as problem gamblers. With the number of people involved with the way in which gambling's got out of control in Australia, this is reaching hundreds of thousands of people. The report actually points out that about half of Australians have placed bets in the last 12 months, and of that group, two-thirds are at risk of harm. So when you do the numbers, that's about a third of Australian adults. So that makes it a big population problem, and that makes it a big population health problem. So we absolutely agree with the committee's assessment. This is an enormous public health challenge.
In 2018-19, almost $25 billion was gambled and lost by citizens of Australia. That is a heck of a lot of money.
It's a frightening amount of money, and people are uncomfortable hearing the truth. And the truth is Australians are the world's biggest losers when it comes to gambling. And I often refer it to kind of blind spot in public policy that we witness in America with guns. And nobody in Australia can understand the situation the Americans have got themselves in when it comes to firearms and the constant level of carnage that comes with the freedom of access of guns that occurs in America. But we have a similar blind spot in Australia when it comes to gambling. We've allowed all of these products to come onto the market, and you know it's sold and marketed and convinced our regulators that this is just part of, you know, being an Aussie and having a flutter and having some fun and all the rest of it. But the simple truth is these are in many cases, multinational companies that systematically exploit often the most vulnerable people, and they have sophisticated marketing machinery, sophisticated computer machinery that really are simply designed to take the money out of people's bank accounts, and that's what they do very efficiently and effectively, and they pull every possible trick in the book, and they're at the leading edge of the marketing trickery, and they do it ruthlessly, and they exercise their power with the money that they make to influence the political process. We know that political parties take donations from many of these gambling companies, both domestic and international. So this is a hugely wide-reaching and powerful and rich group of industries, and they get their hooks into the commercial media industries, even SBS, because they take advertising. You know, let's be blunt, even SBS, because they take advertising, appeared at the committee and made the case for a balance in reform. And that's code for don't put too many controls on it because we take revenue from this source.
Now, gambling.
And of course, SBS is not the only one. This is every commercial agency. But it's also, all the players that have a role in this, including governments and the taxes that they take off them, and particularly state governments when it comes to poker machines.
Well, you've partly answered my next question there, which was that, like tobacco companies, gambling companies are always quick to point at the amount of taxes that they pay and how those taxes fund community activities. What do you say to that?
What I say to that is if they weren't pillaging the population, taking the money out of their pockets and sending much of it as profits overseas, then many of the services that that gambling harm creates the need for, whether it's in the hospital system, within the social welfare system, and all of the other things that, you know, the community has to come and mop up the mess that's left behind by gambling, then if that wasn't coming out of the public purse, then, you know, maybe there would be a net public benefit. But that's simply not true. The simple reality is that the carnage caused by these gambling problems have to be picked up by somebody, and most commonly it's the public purse.
And some of these gambling venues tend to be in places like the Greater Western Sydney and some of these other places where, you know, of lower socioeconomic level and where unemployment is quite high.
Absolutely, and that's very much the case for the physical appearance of poker machines in clubs and pubs, and particularly around or low socioeconomic areas, southwest Sydney and the like. And that relates to particularly those physical facilities. This inquiry is very much about online gambling, and it's similar communities and populations who get caught up in both forms. It's very rarely the case that someone is just a pokie player or just an online gambler. It's very commonly the case that their gambling money goes in a number of directions. But at the end of the day, it's often still the most vulnerable people who lose their shirts through this gambling machinery that is in place. And this is an enormous and ruthless industry. And we shouldn't pretend that getting these reforms over the line is going to be easy. These people are looking at losing those billions of dollars that you're talking about, and they're not going to give up that fight easily. So they're going to fight dirty and expect to see that unfold over the next few weeks and months.
Now, with the Public Health Association of Australia, let's look at some of the solutions. What about the cashless card solution for poker machines as proposed by the New South Wales state government?
Well, it's not unfortunately proposed by the current New South Wales state government. It's opposed by the New South Wales state government, much to our frustration.
Oh, really?
We campaigned very heavily in the state election in New South Wales recently to see both sides of politics adopt a policy with a cashless gambling card. The Liberal Party committed to that, but they lost the election, and so the Labor Party didn't commit to that. They committed to a very, very weak and watered-down version of that, and now there's debate as to the extent to which they're going to implement that. There's some pressure because of the crossbench, and they don't have full control over the lower house in New South Wales. So I hope they are moved and pushed towards greater controls in the poker machines in New South Wales, because that's one of the greatest scourges of gambling in Australia, and long has been. And sadly, the connections of the gambling industry to Labor in New South Wales is long-standing and well-known.
Online gambling, especially on horse racing and other sports, a lot easier now with a mobile phone. How do you stop people from gambling online?
Well, this inquiry that was released today from the Australian Parliament sets forward 23 recommendations as to how that can be dealt with. And you can't stop it. And this proposal doesn't stop that gambling. What it does is put a whole range of measures in, or proposes to put a whole range of measures in place to reduce that gambling harm. And that includes ensuring that, for example, which has already been passed, you can't gamble with funds taken from credit cards. But the big news out of this is to stem the tide of the extraordinary levels of advertising that everybody sees almost everywhere, whether it's on their phone, through their social media feeds, on TV, during sporting games, at sporting events, and so on and so forth. It's just so ubiquitous that we're all sick to death of it, and it's become so obvious that governments have to take action. So part of what has been proposed here is a raft of measures, including controls on that advertising, you know, tsunami that we all see all the time, and it's in four stages, and it's over 3 years. We'd like to see it happen more quickly, but it also is involved in disentangling some of the connection between the gambling industry and professional sport, for example. all the sponsorship arrangements we see for sporting teams, for sporting competitions, the promotion of gambling and odds and all of the other gambling products that are linked to the sports that many people love and, you know, have been following their entire lives. So some of those kind of measures will genuinely shift the dial, and we're strongly supportive of the recommendation from the Standing Committee on Social Policy and Legal Affairs and its report that was brought down today by its chair, Peter Murphy, for the government to take these recommendations up and implement them.
Professor Darius Levin, thank you so much for talking to us. And finally, before we go, if this is a public health issue, and if the government is going to come to the party, ultimately, what would you like to see happen, say, in the next year or two with regards to online gambling and advertising in Australia?
Well, accelerating the implementation of these measures recommended by this committee is the first and most important thing. I think these measures will make a difference, and I think they will shift the dial. But at the moment, there are a series of recommendations from a committee. What I'd like to see in the next 12 months is the adoption and brought into law all the recommendations of this committee, which includes establishing agencies that take that responsibility, making clear what one specific federal minister is responsible, putting in place organisations that take responsibility for implementing harm reduction strategies, and an ombudsman to oversee that activity, to stop the accelerator that we see of the advertising of gambling products, and to do it as a matter of urgency. That's the thing that's before the government to decide whether it will or won't do it. We urge them to follow every single one of these recommendations.
The CEO of the Public Health Association of Australia, Professor Darius Levin, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Yannick.
Fa fofonga ile Apple Podcast, le Google Podcast, Spotify, ma po fela vai mawailo podcast.